verses 1 through 9, and this can be found on page 76 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans?" "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Did you listen to the words of that song that Helen sang beautifully? I mean, it's the story of Christ. I mean, I don't think it's just some weird coincidence that those pieces of music are selected during this time of our Christian year. But I do think that each and every one of us comes to the presence of God needing something, an assurance, a blessing, a hope, a promise, and to know that this Lord of life is crucified. Not that he was taken by Roman soldiers and made to carry a couple of pieces of wood up to a mountain outside of the city of Jerusalem. Not that he allowed himself to be thrown down on the ground and his arms stretched out and his feet impaled with nails, both in his feet and his hands, and that he would hang on those, that implement of death and punishment because of something he had done to offend Rome or the powers that be in Jerusalem. His crucifixion was to pay your and my sin debt. You and I don't get to be in the presence of God for an everlasting life on our merit, no matter how good we've been or how good you think you've been or how good you remember you being. We get to come into the presence of God for an everlasting life because the Lord of life is crucified for you and for me. How beautifully that was sung. How beautifully that sounds. And you would think, how in the world can a loving God allow his own son, himself, to be punished in that way? to be whipped and beaten, to be scourged, to be insulted, to have the worst degradation, the worst humility that any humanity, inhumanity, can inflict on another human being. That is crucifixion. And all of the things that led up to it. When he was tried before Caiaphas, he was beaten, he was slapped. When he was taken to the Roman centurions and taken before the Roman guards, and he was whipped and scourged, beaten again, and had a crown of thorns placed on his head, and then made to carry the implement of his own death up a hill. When we read Isaiah 55, start at verse 6 and read to 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Repent. Turn away from your wicked ways. Come and appeal to God for mercy. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For one of the things that we forget about God is we try to put him in a box. We try to put him on a shelf. We try to put him on a wall and say, that's God. No, that's a horrible implement of death, but it reminds us of what Christ has done. Even the beautiful gold crosses up there, those are not. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We can only try to understand God. We can only try to see and read into what happened, why he did it. Why would the Lord of life be crucified? To save you and me from death. To give you and I eternal, you and me. To give you and me that everlasting life. Why? Why? You know, we're human beings, and since we're children, since the very first questions that we can ask, Mom and Dad, why? Other than, are we there yet? Why is probably the most asked question by us. And we keep doing that, but that's okay. God is okay with us asking questions because he wants us to stay in communication with him. He wants us to be seeking him. As we seek him, we will find him. As we ask, we will receive. Knock and the door will be opened. All of those are not just platitudes. They are words that we can live by. Even when the answer is not in front of us. His ways are higher than our ways. What he has planned for us is something that, you know, as a 13-year-old kid or a 10-year-old kid, no way in the world could we even conceive where God's going to have us when we hit 63 or 60 or whatever age. But I'll tell you this. It's as true today in our Christian lives as it was in those Jewish lives, even in the days of Moses and Abraham, we repent or we perish. We either recognize God's sovereignty, we recognize that what he has told us we should be doing is what we should be doing, and sadly we recognize that we're not doing it. All you got to do, look at your own life. We repent. You know, the cross is this way. This is a way for us to focus. This is a point for us to focus our attention. It's on Christ. It's on God. It's in the right way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto me. No one comes unto the Father but by me. John 6, Jesus comes that you and I, he comes to fulfill the will of God. And the will of God is that none of us that are given to God will be lost. that he will raise us up. At the very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. You know, there used to be the cause and effect. There was the tradition that if something bad happened to you, it was because of someone's sin. If the child was born blind, or if the man had been blind since birth, it was the parents' fault. Or it was that child's fault, that they had sinned. We know today, and we say oftentimes, good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people, and what's up? Go back to Isaiah 55, verse 9 and 10. Our ways are not his ways. His ways are so much higher than ours. He asked them, do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way that they're worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. Again, he says, no, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. We have to be in a right relationship with God and all the time, because there are bad things that are going to happen to us. You don't have the opportunity. You might think you do. You might be able to convince yourself that, you know, I'm hale and hearty. There's absolutely no reason for me to repent right now because I'm healthy and I'm just going to go out there, eat, drink, and be merry. Because it says that in Ecclesiastes. Scripture, eat, drink, and be merry. Well, I'll read the rest of the context of that. We don't know if we have tomorrow. We don't know if we have later today. So we need to get right with God now. Because none of us knows. We know that our ways are not God's ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or, you know, because he could think up all these examples of, well, were these sins? Were these people suffering for their sins? Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? In other words, if evil befalls you, it's not because you sinned. Now, if you're out there doing bad things, you're putting yourself at risk. Bad things can happen. You drink and drive, what can happen? It could be that you survive the collision or the accident and someone else doesn't. That's a bad thing. But not always true. Sometimes you're so loose, you drive off the road. And you know, what old adage? God's looking after drunks and fools. But don't put your faith on that. Don't put your hope on that. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless, get the point here? But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Our span on this earth, in this human flesh, is brief. Whether it's 99 wonderful years or 102 or 118 or however many years. Unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. And he tells, if nothing else, Jesus then tells this parable. And parables were intended for us to have something that we could unpack in a phrase, in a term that we can understand. Kind of like a simile. Right, Connie? It's like this. Such as and like this. Got it. You got to go to the wisdom when it comes to English, I'm telling you, because I'm not there. Then he told the parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, see here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree and I still find none. How many times has God looked at you and your life and looked to see if you were bearing fruit? He's given you gifts and talents. He's given me gifts and talents. He's given each and every one of us gifts and talents. How many times has Christ, our Lord and Savior, how many times has God and the Holy Spirit looked at you and found you barren? You're not bearing fruit. Even though you've been given talents, you've been blessed with skills for a purpose. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, gifts of the Spirit. We're given gifts and spirits, what? For the good of the community. How many times has He come to us bearing fruit? Or bearing fruit that's not worthy? See, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. What does He say? Cut it down. That's the judgment. Cut it down. But we know that God is merciful. He's come 3 years looking. Cut it down. Because there's nothing on it. Well, the man says, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." Well, that's kind of a colorful metaphor. We'll pile manure on it. But from a planting item, he's going to dig a ditch around it so that it's going to have more water. More water is going to be held for it to nourish. You're going to give it more nutrients. You're going to give it more to enrich it, to give it a better chance to produce fruit. You and I have so many chances to bear fruit. Good fruit. Tasteful fruit. Blessed fruit. We have a maker, a creator, a savior, a counselor, a comforter, who is there for us always. Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. But He wants us to bear fruit. He commands us to bear fruit. He's done everything possible to enable you to bear fruit. Repent or perish. Now, if this were not very important, He probably wouldn't have said it in these 9 verses. He said it twice. And then He tells you, even in the parable itself, so He's telling you, you either repent and bear fruit, you either turn and follow the way, the truth, and the life, or you're going to hell. You and I have something that everybody else has. It's an opportunity. Each and every one of us, because Jesus hung on that cross for everyone. Black or white, yellow, red, whether you are a Methodist or a Baptist or an Episcopalian or a Catholic or an agnostic or an atheist. Or anything in between. Christ hung on that cross for you. The Lord of life was crucified for you and for me and for them. You can't do anything for them. You can't make any decision for them. But you can make a decision for you. You can make a decision to follow Christ. You can make a decision to recognize that the Lord of life was crucified for you. And because of that, you're going to repent. And because you're going to repent, then you're going to turn and listen to God. Because as we come to Him, so we can listen, that we might live. How's he going to do that? God alone knows. How's he going to save a wretch like me? God only knows. But you and I cannot say that we have not heard that if I don't repent, I will perish. For the confirmation class, one of the things that's been a common theme throughout all of this, and as we deal with this, essentials of Methodism, one of the pieces is as we join the church, we reject the forces of evil. We repent of the things that we have done. And we claim the power and the healing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because we repent, reject, and renounce, we claim the victory that is won, bought, and paid for by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because of that, well, then we need to bear fruit. The Methodist Church has a saying. Anybody here want to try it? We're to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. You guys have heard that, right? Are you guys buying into that? Are you living into it? Because he has died for you. We repent of the evil. We're not going to perish. But he wants us to bear fruit. He wants you to bear fruit. He wants me to bear fruit. And if we have Christ in us, it's going to be good fruit, and it's going to be abundant. Shalom. Peace.